One of my biggest fears when planning the tour around Ireland and figuring out the merchandise was that I wouldn't have a good vehicle to sell. But thanks to Shopify, I can use justgoodstuff.ie. I can update the website from my dressing room. With Shopify, it's not just websites like justgoodstuff.ie. They're also the platform behind millions and millions of businesses around the world, from household names to other brands just getting started. Shopify has so many AI tools. They can even enhance your product photography. You can easily create email and social media campaigns wherever your customers are scrolling. It's got world-class expertise in everything from managing inventory to international shipping. It can process returns. It's super, super simple. So basically, turn your big business idea into... with Shopify on your side. Sign up for your 1 euro per month trial and start selling today at shopify.ie. Go to shopify.ie. That's shopify.ie. It's time to see what you can accomplish with Shopify by your side.
Mark Megan's Weekly Roast, a Go Light original.
Welcome back to the Roast Mortem. How's it going, guys?
How the hell are you?
How are your hearts? And of course, how are your heads? Guys, what's going on? How are we doing, Michael?
Very well, Mark. How are you?
I'm very good.
Good to see you.
Today's episode, It was due to be on Love Island.
Yes.
I received lots of messages. Actually, do you want to know the truth?
Go on.
We may as well tell them.
Okay.
So, we were asked by a very, very big brand recently to do a live branded episode, which is when basically we would do an episode in one of their businesses for them. There'd be an audience, blah, blah, blah. And it would be very commercially, lucrative.
Yes.
Money.
Yeah.
For the podcast. Gosh. And us and Rosie's future. So obviously we were very excited. And then we had a meeting with the brand over Zoom. And one of the people on the team was like, so I've just listened back to the last few episodes. And my concern is that we are going for a largely female audience, as in they are. And I said, well, you're in business.
Yep.
Because our podcast is probably 70% female. If anybody has come to any of the sold out live shows across the country, the Olympia Theatre, etc., you will notice that the audience is largely female. Mm-hmm. And we said that to them and they were like, yeah, but just the content. And I was like, no, but the content is content that women, are consuming. So you don't need to modify your content in order to make it what you believe to be female friendly.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Because women will listen. Anyway, I wasn't going to get into fucking gender politics with her, but I was just, yeah. And long story short, she was like, we would expect you to be doing things like around Love Island and whatnot. And I said, that wouldn't really be our shtick. And she was like, well, we're aiming for these women. I was like, well, these women are listening to our podcast. Like, that's the age demographic. That's the blah, blah. Long story short, they pulled it.
Mm.
So.
Bastards.
Difficult to pill to take because it would have been very lucrative. However, yeah, they pulled it. So in an effort to, I went back to the drawing board. I spoke to Michael. I was like, you know what? Like, are we missing a trick by not doing these just like every week talking about the likes of a Love Island or, jumping on the sort of bandwagon? And I tried to watch Love Island last night.
How did you find it?
Genuinely? Of all the islands, Love Island's coming in at number one is the worst.
Oh.
Number three, Snake Island. Number two, Epstein Island. Do you know what I mean? Of all the islands to be stranded on, okay? I think number three, that Snake Island that the National Geographic have been making 50 documentaries about. Every time you're sick from school
Snake
or,
Island.
You know, you've got a career as a comedian and you're watching TV in the middle of the afternoon. And it's National Geographic, Snake Island. Yep. Oh, here we are, Snake Island. And the cameraman's literally wobbling the camera as if he's been bitten by a poisonous snake. It's just like, stop going to the Snake Island. So there's Snake Island number three. Then, of course, you've got Epstein Island.
Of course.
And then number, Love Island. Hell on earth. It's not for me. It's just not for me. But again, it's not for me to ridicule it either.
No.
I'm just old.
I don't think you're its audience.
I'm not its audience, and it's
okay.
It's low hanging fruit for me to just ridicule 20-year-olds who are out being stupid and enjoying themselves. I actually think it's more the stuff that you scroll through your phone, doom scrolling in bed at 11 o'clock at night, I believe is far worse for you than Love Island.
Totally agree.
The stuff that I'm seeing on Instagram, and by the way, wellness disguised as self-help and all that bullshit, that's more damaging to your brain than just like a bit of light diversion on Love Island.
Totally.
So I'm actually, when I say pro Love Island, yeah, it's absolutely not to my taste.
It is what it is, though.
But it is what it is. Yeah. I think it's more damaging to watch a reel that in 20 seconds tries to convince you that all of your family are actually against you and you need to start being more basically selfish.
Yeah.
I'm sorry if we're probably losing out on more commercial money. I just don't think we can do this bandwagon stuff.
Do you know what, though? I do think, because we've chatted about it a lot, I think it's far better that we don't necessarily like bow the head to what maybe other people want and we just stick to our roots.
I just, with bandwagon in it, I can jump on like, I don't know, like terror attacks. I get real into the stuff that I get really obsessed with is like, if there's been a terror incident, I can tell you 53 ways you can enter and exit a Seattle mall. Do you know what I mean? I could tell you what sort of socks the shooter was wearing, but I couldn't tell you who the fucking the summer flavor Cheeto entering the villa is. Do you know what I mean?
Jet fuel doesn't bend.
You know what I mean? I could tell you the spokes of the tricycle training wheels that were put on the submersible that exploded and blew the rich people into smithereens. You know, I could tell you all of that shit,
yeah.
But I couldn't tell you who Daphne from Inchicore is who's entering the fucking villa. I just, they're the things that I get fanatical about.
Okay, so you're not into the nail text from Kent. You want
I wouldn't be having a go at nail text.
I
would not be having a go. Nevertheless.
Okay.
Just a nevertheless.
Nevertheless.
Yeah, they're the type of things that I can get behind bandwagoning.
Okay.
Do you know?
Yeah.
So, the podcast's not going to be about Love Island.
Okay.
Anyway, guys, unfortunately, it is about something a little bit more serious. And I another note before we begin, just to the journalist.
Oh.
If you're going to be writing articles about this, will you please credit us? Because you wrote a series of articles, or you wrote an article about the full-blown... See, this is the thing, by the way, people listening will know. I make comments about the media in terms of the podcast. When we had this Northern Irish bride saga recently, ran a story by a journalist called... wherein she documented the entire saga of the Northern Irish bride.
Yeah.
And guess how many times she mentioned the podcast?
Go on.
Zero. Guess how many times she named me or you?
Go on.
Zero.
Ah.
So a podcast at the beginning was referred to and then just took all of our content, wrote an article, documented the whole thing, and zero credit given to us. So
can we please beep those names?
I don't think we need to.
That's just a
journalist.
I know, but I don't want to get in trouble.
You won't get in trouble. Oh. That's a journalist who is taking our content and writing articles about us and just refusing to credit us. So good luck.
It's on record of us.
I'm crediting you with that.
No, please.
So anyway,
stop saying it.
I just feel like it's unfair though. You put so much work into something and then I'm getting DMs from people going, look, your podcast made the front page. It's like, it didn't make the front page. There's no reference to us. Do you know, it's the hardest thing as a creative in Ireland, we're all familiar with people robbing ideas, but like to see your work that you literally pour hours and hours and dedicate your life to then be thrown out in the front page of newspapers and no credit, it's so unfair.
No, it is.
And they wonder why there's a healthy distrust of the media in this country.
Yeah.
Anyway, tune into Mark's Media Moments next week. Alas, Michael, today we're here to talk about something a little bit more serious.
We are.
Than my chronic neglect. From the Irish press. I, of course, need to caveat this, guys, by saying that, as most of and many of you will know, whenever we do some more subjects like this, I have to keep my opinions curtailed and a little bit restrained. Would that be right?
I think that's fair.
You know, because...
You're like the arbiter, nearly.
Somewhat,
yeah.
I need to not go completely instinctive with my responses. Otherwise, we wouldn't get further than 5 minutes with the podcast and people would be less likely to come forward with the various trials and tribulations that they're encountering and challenges in their lives. So I'm just going to read out this DM that I got yesterday. This message came in yesterday evening and I'd like to know what your thoughts are. My husband's mom is causing war in our house and I could do with some help. Our son's 4th birthday on the weekend and his gran, husband's mam, kindly produced a cheque worth €5,000 for his schooling.
Okay.
This would make a big difference for us, so we were very emotional and thankful. Now it's transpired she'll only stand us the money if our son goes to the one school that she has in mind. Husband doesn't care and says it's worth the money, but I'm not comfortable with the principle of it, and the mother-in-law is very pushy in other ways too. Lets herself in and out of the house without asking.
Oh God.
Has taken my car without asking.
Oh God.
And comes on all of our holidays.
Oh God.
I don't have a big social circle as we live remotely, so could do with a reminder that I'm not causing war for the sake of it. Right, so my instinct immediately to that is insane by the mother-in-law.
Completely agree.
I think it's not about the money. I think it's control.
Yeah, I'm 100% with you.
And I think it's important with gestures like this to be, it's very easy to be blindsided by the extent, like the size of the figure, because €5,000 is a significant amount of money, particularly with costs for kids and education and stuff. Like €5,000,
life-changing
amount of money.
Absolutely.
However, so it's easy to be blindsided by that and just go, oh, we'll just take the money, we'll do whatever. But like, for me, there's two things to be massive red flags, right? First and foremost, any gift that is conditional is a problem for me.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean?
Okay,
anything that comes with a caveat, like an apology. Gifts are much like apologies. They should just be given without any expectation of a response. They should be given because you want to give it.
Totally.
It's actually pretty wise.
Mm.
Quite the realization I've just had.
There you go.
Gifts are like apologies. Buy the fucking t-shirt. Write about it in the press.
Give a gift.
Credit
me.
Do you know what I mean? But credits should be like, or gifts should be like apologies. You do it just because you want to do the thing and it's the right thing to do and you don't expect anything back. As soon as they're conditional, mm-hmm. it takes all the good out of it. If you're giving the gift, much like the apology, in order to get from A to B, then it's a problem. You know, if you're only doing it because then you expect them to participate in whatever sort of transaction you have in mind, then it takes all the value out of it. Secondly, the dynamic for me is, It's really concerning to me that this is about education.
Mm-hmm.
If it was just like, oh, listen, I'm happy to cover a trip to Disneyland if I can go.
Yeah.
That's sort of like, it's still bananas and it's manipulative, but it's less serious because it's Disneyland.
Totally.
The fact that it's about education for the kid, for the son, is just, I think that's really deeply manipulative because, you know, the mother-in-law would know exactly how much of a sort of a sore spot it is. And yeah, I just think it's very manipulative.
Education is one of those things as well. It's very circumstantial. Like, you know, parents have certain ideals as to what schools they'd like their kids to go to or not go to, but you can't put those expectations on other people.
And also though, but if you want to get into the actual nitty gritty, where does the 5,000... Like, what's the school? Is it some sort of private school? Is it a privately educated national school? And 5K, surely that's like per year.
Yeah.
Some of those private schools, like, which of course we know nothing about, but like some of those stupid, like, but they would comfortably cost €5,000 a year.
Yeah, yeah, or they can be extortionate.
But then all of a sudden you're giving the mother-in-law a dog in the fight. Mm. She then is involved. Does she have a involvement in decisions? And by the way, if, for instance, €5,000 per year for education is way beyond the means of this couple, there are going to be additional expenses. And there are going to be, I would say, you know, problems arising in terms of like, oh, the kids are going on a trip to fucking Medjugorje. Oh, there's a holiday bench been erected for the table tennis team out the back of the school. That's going to be 70. You know, all of a sudden, this €5,000 is actually going to cost the couple a lot more than €5,000.
Okay.
Because all of a sudden there's like additional expenses that they'll incur from sending the kid to this school. Then who do they turn to? The mother-in-law. You're just putting the mother-in-law in this position of power. How's it going, guys? Anybody out there who has ever set up a small business or a business on the side or their own company will be aware of how all of a sudden overnight you have to wear basically like 1,000 different hats. Whenever I launched justgoodstuff.ie earlier in the year to sell all my merchandise, it was honestly so unbelievably liberating to discover Shopify and to realize that I was actually capable of running and developing my business further myself. With Shopify, it's not just websites like justgoodstuff.ie. They're also the platform behind millions and millions of businesses around the world, from household names to other brands just getting started. Shopify has so many AI tools. They can even enhance your product photography. You can easily create email and social media campaigns wherever your customers are scrolling. It's got world-class expertise in everything from managing inventory to international shipping. It can process returns. It's super, super simple. So basically, turn your big business idea into... with Shopify on your side. Sign up for your €1 per month trial and start selling today at shopify.ie. Go to shopify.ie. That's shopify.ie. It's time to see what you can accomplish with Shopify by your side. I put this on my Instagram. Mm-hmm. And I had a myriad of different responses, but I'm going to read out a couple first. The most notable one that I received straight away was somebody wrote back, "Storm in a teacup. If she wants the money, send her son to the school. It's not about her, for fuck's sake."
That's what?
The most gravely short-sighted response one could possibly imagine to this dilemma, I think. Storm in a teacup. The teacup is education. It's very... as far as crockery, if we're going to exist in this crockery universe, you know, the education is very much the roasted. That's the dish.
That's the Le Creuset. Like,
that's Le Creuset. Exactly.
That's the, yeah.
Do you know what I mean? That is the centerpiece. It's not the teacup. It's not adjacent to. That is the main event.
I would say, and obviously I'm not a parent, so maybe I'm completely off the ball here, but your choices on education have to be the biggest decisions you make for your child.
They do. And actually... I had a conversation with my brother-in-law about this when I was away over the weekend. We were talking about education and the torment between overthinking what sort of school. You know, we would both be a big believer in mixed schools just for development, the developmental things for boys and girls. Totally. But then apparently there are studies to say, by the way, that boys or girls do better in same-sex schools.
Really?
I think somebody said that to me recently. Anyway, don't quote me on that.
I think a lot of the time, though, it's girls-only schools that like achieve the highest, you know, in those like annual reports and stuff. Like they...
Yeah, I think boys perform better academically in mix. I don't know, somebody will tell me. But either way, education is one of the most... Yeah, as you would say, it's clearly one of the most important decisions a family can make. And storm in a teacup, no. So it's not a storm in a teacup. It's a storm in a storm. Like it's... Of all the... It's Oklahoma. It is, you know, a house made of wood in Oklahoma. It is exactly where storms should be.
Plains.
This is in, you know...
No protection.
Out there. With no house insurance. Because it's going to be gone by December. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's not a storm in a teacup. And if she wants the money... send her son to the school. It's not about her. That's just the weirdest way of looking at it. It's not about if she wants the money. This for me, like our, we'll call her, the wife has said to us, the wife has openly said, she goes, what does she say? It's the principle. Mm. It's not about the money. The whole idea is the principle between the mother-in-law offering this and saying, right, well, on the condition that he goes to this school. That's mental. I also don't like the idea of the kid's birthday party being sort of like, okay, now we're all going to do presents and now granny gets to do this big fucking, you know.
Yeah. It's the tendency as well, and I don't know if this is an Irish thing or what it is, but just to kind of say, oh, shut up and take the money.
That's a f***ing thing. Oh. No. We'll believe that. It's not an Irish thing. That is...
No, but like...
Shut up. No.
But you know what I mean? In terms of like... as the wife said, it's about the principle. You can't control people just because you have a bigger checkbook than them.
100%.
You can't put people in a position where you can say, I'm going to dangle this big carrot in front of you on the basis that you do what I want.
That's it, exactly.
Not all right.
I couldn't agree more. Another response I got then was, I swear people go looking for fights. That girl is, capital locks, blessed to have a mother-in-law willing to shell out 5Ks for her daughter's schooling, and here she is rowing about it on Instagram. Snowflakes. Firstly, it's a son. It's not a daughter. Secondly, it's 5K, not 5Ks. And thirdly, snowflakes. For God's sake. Like, it's... Oh, for Christ's sake. It's just... But also, go looking for fights. No, this is not the... I really don't like that mentality. It's... The attention should be put on the mother-in-law, okay? Yeah. For taking control of the kid's birthday party, making it all about her and her gran gesture. Gran, by the way, gesture. Do you know what I mean? Yeah, yeah. rather than the kid's birthday, and it also then being conditional. It's not just like, here's a check, do what you want with it, best of luck to the boy. It's, here you go, by the way, Conleth's. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? But like,
glad you said it.
Do you know what I mean, though? It's
completely, completely, man.
And then now, I just want to get into this part of it. Hold on. Another glaring problem that I have with this is that the husband doesn't care. But we'll get into that. Firstly, my mother-in-law is very pushy in other ways too. Lets herself in and out of the house without asking.
Okay.
Bananas. Mm-hmm. Has taken my car without asking.
GTA.
Lets herself in and out of the house, breaking and entering. Taking my car without asking. GTA. Literally Grand Theft Auto. Granny Theft Auto. Do you know what I mean?
There's the title.
There you go. Granny Theft Auto is the name. Is the name of the show. Comes on all of our holidays. That's not a fucking holiday.
No.
That's a pilgrimage.
Oh, that is the worst.
Do you know what I mean?
No.
Like, don't get me wrong. If you're up for that, absolutely. Like, for instance, we're going to Spain in July and Claire and Eugene are going to come out for a few days. Just a few. But I absolutely love that. The four of us are a great, like, foursome. Myself, Darren, and our parents. We have great laughs, great dinners, all the rest. Dinners, rather. Mm. And, of course, and there's, you know, the additional benefit of they will hopefully look after Rosie for a couple of nights.
Totally.
So we can go out for ourselves.
Yeah.
And that's magic. But the idea of, like, people just coming on every holiday.
Yeah.
No, good luck.
No. It's a nice thing to do from time to time or, like, when it works out.
Exactly.
As this expectation, not a hope.
Let yourself in and out of the house, lock the doors, change the keys. Hiya, Grania, can't happen. That whole thing can't happen. That needs to stop right now. We'll wait till the time. There won't be an opportune time. There's never a good time. It's like to ask somebody who owes you money for the money. There's never a right time. Yeah. And the person who owes you money is relying on your awkwardness to not ask. And that's how these people get away with it. So letting yourself into their house is bananas. Taking the car without asking is like, do you know what I mean? Ayrton fucking Senna driving down the cul-de-sac in your whip. If I came home in my lovely Cupra Tavascan, which is a perfect car for all family jaunts.
A car you'd want to rob.
A car you'd bloody want to steal. But if they did, I'd be absolutely raging.
Completely.
It would never happen. It would happen once and it would never happen again. Sorry, I'm just trying to think about this. Let yourself in a house with a... Is the Nana like the big bad wolf? Do you know what I mean? Oh, you come up to your bedroom expecting it to be your son. Oh, Gabriel. What lovely big feet you have. What lovely varicose veins you have. Oh, Gabriel, what lovely blue rinse hair you have. Oh, Gabriel, why do you smell of Murray mints and forgetfulness? Do you know what I mean?
Oh, Gabriel, how did you vote in the last referendum?
What lovely xenophobia you're expressing. Oh, Gabriel, what lovely and problematic beliefs and a total grave lack of understanding of the internet and all things AI. Oh, Gabriel, what lovely xenophobic ways you have until they're your nurse. And you make an exception.
They're all right.
Oh, Gabriel, what a lovely little spill you've had down the stairs at the worst possible time. It's always when we're away. Doesn't make any sense.
That's great, though.
Goodbye, Nana. How's it going, guys? Anybody out there who has ever set up a small business or a business on the side or their own company will be aware of how all of a sudden overnight you have to wear basically like 1,000 different hats. Whenever I launched justgoodstuff.ie earlier in the year to sell all my merchandise, it was honestly so unbelievably liberating to discover Shopify and to realize that I was actually capable of running and developing my business further myself. With Shopify, it's not just websites like justgoodstuff.ie. They're also the platform behind millions and millions of businesses around the world, from household names to other brands just getting started. Shopify has so many AI tools. They can even enhance your product photography. You can easily create email and social media campaigns wherever your customers are scrolling. It's got world-class expertise in everything from managing inventory to international shipping. It can process returns. It's super, super simple. So basically, turn your big business idea into... with Shopify on your side. Sign up for your €1 per month trial and start selling today at shopify.ie. Go to shopify.ie. That's shopify.ie. It's time to see what you can accomplish with Shopify by your side. Go Guys, you're very welcome back to the Roast Mortem. It's great to have you here. Thank you all for tuning in. If you're a fan of the show, please do us a huge favour and just share with one friend. That's all we ask, because unfortunately the articles will be written, but we won't get the credit. So we're relying on you.
This is the new crusade.
This is the new crusade. Megan versus the media. No, certainly not. Anyway, okay, so this is the situation we're in. Honestly, like, I was amazed with the amount of people that, okay, fortunately, I would say at the moment we're probably about 50, no, we're probably around 60% on team wife in terms of believing that the mother-in-law is way out of bounds. But I am astounded at the amount, excuse me, of people who think that the mother-in-law was making a good gesture, and this is sort of reflective of our era of young people being ungrateful or, you know, unwilling to just take a present and smile and get on with it. Like, I think it's...
Do you think that's just a cultural shift, though, where money isn't seen as, not as seen as important as it once was, but that it can't be the controlling factor within family dynamics that it once was?
As in, do you think...
Like, do you think people are becoming more maybe emotionally aware or mature in, like, you know...
Yeah, well, I think... Well, maybe I think in this grandmother's generation, it was this idea of, like, how dare you, you pup? I'm making a grand gesture here of giving you this money. But as a result, she expects control. And that's the problem. And unfortunately, our role and our duty as people is not to educate people that don't want to be educated. So if she refuses to see the error in her own ways, it's not on you, or it's not on the wife. As far as I'm concerned, it's not on the wife to educate the grand. She can express her gratitude and say, that's a lovely gesture and thank you so much. Although I'm uncomfortable with the idea of you dictating the school, and also why. You know, it's so conditional that you'll only give it if we're sending our son to this school. And then, like, but then secondly, so if she doesn't respond well to that, but then let them go. Okay. Like, I do think I'm 35. I've lost a lot of time already in my life ruminating on why people that I have disagreements with, you know, don't think the way that I think. And I've tried to win them around. And it's like, it's such a fool's errand. Let them go. I'm not talking about cutting contact with people, but just let them off. If somebody has a different, just let it off. You gain nothing by wasting your time trying to convince them otherwise. And that brings me to this point. I feel like way too much pressure here has been put on the wife. I feel like, think about this. She said that they live very remotely and she doesn't have a huge social circle. So as much as somebody can sneer at her, she feels compelled to write into this podcast with her dilemma. Okay. That for me is a tragic sign of the lack of communication that she's getting from her husband. Totally. And the fact that this husband is saying he doesn't really, he's just saying, look, I don't care. He's seeing the money and going, that's unreal. That's $5,000 we don't have to pay. Let's take it. You're going, yeah, but man, like, that's $5,000. Only from a mathematical sense, it's just $5,000 you're not paying. You're going to be paying lots more. Yeah. If the difference is sending your kid to a national school that is not non-fee paying versus one of these fee paying schools, like, I can tell you from first hand experience, as somebody who went, the fees are only the start of it, because literally every other week you're coming back and they're building a fucking library. They want the parents to pay for it. They're erecting a bench. They're, you know, doing X, Y, or Z. The rugby team need a new fucking private plane to send them out to South Africa for camp in July. Do you know what I mean? It's preposterous, the money that's been spent in some of these fee paying schools. And the onus is put on these parents. So the €5,000 was only the beginning. But again, that's me getting lost in the sauce of loot. Forget the money. For me, the husband has a role here, whether he likes it or not, to stand up to his mother and say, this is my wife. You know, sorry, he doesn't need to say this to his mother, but he needs to say it to himself. This is my wife. This is our family unit. It's my wife and my son. It's not my mother-in-law, or not my mother. So he has to stand up to her and say, listen, I'm really disappointed that you're only offering this money, and it's also you're putting Cleana, or whatever we call her. Her name's not Cleana, so don't worry about that. But, like, you know, you're putting Cleana, let's call her Cleana. You're putting Cleana in a very awkward position by announcing at a birthday party in our family home or wherever it was, Chuck E. Cheese. Do you know what I mean?
Probably not.
Probably not, Chuck. Probably not getting married in American movies in the 90s, okay? So, but, you know, it's unfair. It's actually a bit awkward that you did that, and you put Clean in an awkward position. You're putting me in an awkward position, and I understand that your gesture was probably made with goodwill, but unfortunately, like, that 5,000 would make a huge difference to us, and I don't like the fact that it's you get to decide what school he goes to as a result.
I totally agree. Here's one for you.
Right.
Do you think he went to that school? And the reason I ask is, some dads have these expectations of their kids to go to the same school and follow in that.
The alma mater.
There you go.
Is old Joycer still working there?
Of course not.
But I wonder.
I'd say Mahogany's asking for me. A desk. Inanimate objects literally whispering the name of you, Dad. No, they're not. I'd say, Jesus, those locker rooms have done a bit of damage there. Sorry? Jesus, those hot and steam. What are you talking about? What went on? Do you know what I mean? Like,
do you know what I mean, though? I wonder, is he saying, oh, I don't care, while, like, passively wanting his child to go to a certain school and just letting mummy take the reign?
That's a very good question, and I'd say you could be right. Mm. But I also think, after, 3 years of doing this show, I do think that there's a consistency in men, and I don't want to say Irish men, but that's who we're dealing with by and large. I know we've got some international listeners, but mostly 97% of our listeners are of, or 94% probably, are of Irish origin, right? And it does seem like lots of Irish men are ultimately subservient to their mothers, even when in marriages. Like, they still have this relationship with their mother where their mother can call shots, and at the expense of their wife's happiness, they will go along with their mother's, you know,
demands,
whims and decisions and demands. Yeah. And I think he should have stood up long ago. The letting herself in and out of the house is Beninis. Like, do you know what I mean? The Beninis. Beninis is why I lose followers. I say stuff like Beninis and someone literally clicks unfollow.
Swidgos was your Mariana Trench, and we've just gone worse. We've gone lower.
Even rock bottom bottom as a trap door.
Beninis is great.
I think the husband needs to do something. And I'm staggered that people don't think... in isolation, you could say that this gesture by the mother-in-law is just one gesture.
Yeah.
And maybe it's misguided. Maybe she thinks, oh, maybe, you know, it all depends on context. If she was like, guys, I know you really wanted to send Ronan to blank school. Bang, happy birthday. I'm sending it to him.
Yeah.
You know, and if she goes, now, obviously, by the way, that's only if you're sending him to this school because we said you wanted to. That's a different thing. Yeah. But the way that it's been told for sure is that it wasn't delivered like that. That it was like, here's the check dangled. And then it was like, oh, by the way, that's only if you're going to send him to Muckris or whatever.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Totally right.
I think, though, ultimately, like, the mother-in-law relationship, it does seem to be complicated for many.
It does. And we, like, I had a bit of a look at it this morning.
Right.
I suppose get a bit of an understanding as to whether it's just an Irish thing or if it's more systemic. Right?
Okay.
So, some interesting kind of things I looked at. In the UK, they conducted a massive study over family dynamics, right?
Right. And is this now a study like sort of like Asda sponsored by mums, or is it actually real?
No.
It's not ChatGPT and it's like, let's dive in. Correct. And honestly, do you know what I mean?
I believe it was Cambridge.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, so, they check out.
Yeah, they do.
As the man who never went to university, I suppose they can, I suppose I can believe what they say.
It's no Brighton School of Music.
How dare you? That is no great. I was a lost young man doing my best to make it in the world of music, and look at me now,
and
boy.
I did
in ways.
You made a success of it.
Well,
that wasn't
no, I
did.
Wouldn't go that far.
Okay.
But I dwindled long enough to find success in other paths.
You did. Can
and
I get back to my
favorite? The problem with privilege, isn't it? You get to fail. Nevertheless, Oniva.
Okay.
No, Oniva, I'm sorry, go on.
So okay, so within this study, they found that 60% of married couples...
So this is Cambridge.
This is Cambridge.
So in between Alan Turing and John Logie Baird, it was, let's do a study on... Okay, go on.
Social sciences, looking at family dynamics and interpersonal conflict.
Okay.
So 60% of married people had reported, of the groups who were observed, conflict with their in-laws at some point, but over 50%...
Only 60%?
60%, but of those, 50% of couples cited the intrusive or controlling in-laws as their leading interpersonal conflict.
Sorry, of the 60%, what's...
It was the biggest problem within their marriage.
Yeah, okay. So like, oh, wow.
Yes.
I would have thought finance. I would have thought finance is the number one. Yeah, I'm already questioning Cambridge here. I'm going to guarantee you that that's wrong, because surely finances are the number one cause of conflict in... I would say, actually, in Scott Galloway's Markets podcast about 2 months ago, finance is the number one cause of divorce in the US.
Ooh, this is the UK, so maybe...
Oh.
Yeah, Cambridge.
Culture wars.
Yeah, I don't know.
Cambridge kids obviously don't get married. They're all virgins. Brilliant. Brilliant. Applying his prehistoric notions of academia to an adult podcast. Okay, so that's interesting. I do, 60% I'm surprised by that. That's not that much.
But like explicitly as an active ongoing scenario, not just the odd tiff or whatever, that it's an ongoing problem with their relationship. And within that group, half of them said it was the leading cause of basically strain within their marriage.
Wow. And that is tough. I mean, I'm going to have to mention this one, but I feel like this one is such a departure. Like, we're going to need a different podcast on this. And I mean this sincerely because, good God, like, okay, I've asked, by the way, the wife to send me a voice note.
Yes.
I've asked her to get in touch because I've got a few more questions around this mother-in-law. I'd like to know the extent of her involvement in terms of, like, this sort of invasiveness. It clearly predates this offer.
Yes.
I would also like to know more about the husband. I'd like to know what his relationship is like with the mother. Mm-hmm. And I sort of want to know where she went in the car. But you know what I mean? I'd like to know what events have happened in the build-up to this fourth birthday. I've asked her those questions. So hopefully she'll come back to me. Go on.
So it's not to defend the mothers, but they did, within this study, they found that like there are legitimate root causes for it. So mothers and mother-in-laws can really struggle with empty nest syndrome. They can struggle with loneliness in ways that father-in-laws don't.
Okay.
And then they have the fear of being replaced in the child's life.
So that is an actual scientific thing where the mother is wary of the son's partner.
Yes, completely.
Okay.
And they, again, leading on from this, they saw that within family dynamics generally,
and
a really interesting phenomenon where a wife and the mother-in-law was the most likely to be the problematic relationship.
Really?
But the son, or the husband and the respective father-in-law was most likely to be the positive relationship.
I love that man.
And
I love Eugene. I know. Every fibre of my being.
I kind of wanted to bring it up because you do have such a good relationship.
Yeah.
But
now, I have an unbelievable relationship with both of them. Like, they've been parents to me in ways. Do you know what I mean? There's been times in the last couple of years, they know it, where they have just been above and beyond. And I think I'm very lucky with my in-laws across the board, like not just my parents-in-law, but like we have a sort of familial like relationship where we can laugh, argue, discuss. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Everything's out open on the table. There's no real like, well, sorry, unless they all fucking hate me. And they're like, is that Aaron, that fucking Aegis there talking about us again on his podcast? And they're like, oh, another one. Send it around Doolin, this prick. No, but like we have a very open relationship in terms of like, yeah, I just get on very well with them. But I get on very well with them. The way that I get on well with like any relationship that's close to me, like I like being able to argue with those that are close to me. I like being able to have disagreements with people and that not defining the relationship, that you have a disagreement and then you still love them because that's human. Like that's being an adult.
Yeah.
Not just
real
like
life is.
Exactly. Yeah. Real life isn't just agreeing with everything that the person says in the podcast and then telling his wife in Portugal, oh, don't include him as much in the video. Don't put him in much of the video as he should be. Even though he's literally the celebrant, he is the star of the show.
Okay.
That's what real relationships are.
That's got to continue.
Where did your little virgins and cabers, where were they for that study? Dipshit. No, I'm joking. Serious. See, there's new listeners today as well. And they're like, what the hell is wrong with him?
Why is he bullying this guy?
Off the record. On the record, it's not bullying.
It's not.
It's part of our, we have it written down. That that's the strategy as well. It's good cop, bad slop. Nevertheless.
Good cop, bad slop.
didn't mean to say that. Nevertheless. Anima. Don't know what that is. Okay. But sorry. So statistically, the mother-in-law and the daughter-in-law are most likely to disagree.
Exactly. The highest chance of conflict will come from that relationship.
Okay.
And the highest or the most positive one or the one with least conflict is the father and or father-in-law and husband.
Interesting. Whereas, but then out in the wild, I would have thought clearly that men are, as we know, unfortunately, from the news, are always the problem in terms of violent crimes, crimes in general. Intrapersonal crimes, anything that's like an invasion of personal space is done by men.
So the whole point of this is within the family dynamic, men are far more likely to not be engaged. So if they have a connection with them, it's either going to be over something like a common interest or it'll just be indifference.
Okay.
Whereas
okay.
The women who are more invested will be more likely to be opinionated.
Interesting. By the way, I've always said women and opinions, those two don't mix, am I right? I'm joking. That is a fucking, just in case the new listener is like, oh good.
There's your article.
It's not, this podcast was recorded in 1952 by a cigar smoking, whiskey swilling, philandering prick. Do you know what I mean?
I love how that's now going to be.
Oh yeah, that'll be on the front page of fucking ragmacmuck.com.
As a last step, I want to give you some of the most common causes of conflict to see what you think about it.
Okay.
Okay. So the first one is, and I love kind of how passive aggressive some of these are.
Okay, didn't ask for your opinion on the opinions.
Okay,
just the opinions.
Move on. Sorry about that. Backhanded compliments or remarks.
Yeah.
So not necessarily out and out arguments, but it's the understated comments.
It's the worst of all time. Where like if you're eating something sweet and someone goes, oh, the health kick's over.
Yeah.
That's... Oh. My brother-in-law did that to me when we were in Ibiza. I'd gone out to get us Cokes by the beach and they had this like local Balearic baked goods. It was like a sort of soft croissant in powder. It was just, again, like it's my Achilles, everything. I'm gone when I see something good that's baked. And I got it and he just looked at me and goes, on the health kick. Cool, you've ruined my life. You've ruined the holiday. You've ruined my life. You've ruined my wife. You've also ruined every single bite of this precious, precious good. And he didn't mean anything by it.
No.
But it broke me.
Yeah.
And I'm still thinking about it now, 4 days later.
I'm sure you are. Next one is unsolicited advice.
Yeah.
The comparison of parenting styles, which I think is really interesting.
I'd say that plays a huge role, particularly in the mother and the daughter-in-law dynamics. Like, look, I have to tell you this one because this is just so insane. And I do think we might need it. Let me know if you think this, I think we should actually get this person on the call because I'd be afraid of saying anything about this because it's potentially like, okay, let me just read it out.
Right.
The two people who have commented on the post, so she's referring to our first situation, are definitely ones with the ability to do the same as the mother-in-law given half a chance. Mark, please do a podcast on mother-in-laws. Here we are. I was afraid last year to share a story about my ex-partner's mother putting stuff in her dinners to make me really ill.
Oh, God.
I knew she was doing something but didn't know what. Then she let it slip in another conversation with her daughter about eye drops causing a really sick stomach. That's when I knew I wasn't going mad. And she was actually poisoning the dinner.
Jesus Christ.
The next time we had dinner at the house, I swapped dinner with my ex without anyone seeing it. And guess what? He was the one about an hour later with a really bad sick stomach. When I told him when we got home, he got mad at me and said that I was completely in the wrong, that what I did was sly and I should have told him I had swapped the dinners. Nothing at all about the fact that his mother was doing.
Jesus Christ.
Surely that's a criminal matter.
It has to be.
Poisoning.
Literally.
Even if it's only minor poisoning.
At the very least, it's assault.
It's spiking, like.
Yeah. Sorry, it's not assault. It should be salt.
It. Oh, no.
I tried.
You tried and tumbled. You fell through that one with all the grace of a reversing dump truck.
Ah, lovely.
Now, enjoy the money. You've ruined my night. That is surely illegal. And...
Without question.
Beninis. to borrow a phrase, that is absolutely beninis.
I think we need to hear more on that one.
I think I need to hear more from her. Let me know what you think. Comment below. Are you team wife for the... This is the first one now, not the poisoning. Sure. Are you team wife or you team mother-in-law? Please tell me that majority are team wife. To finalise, by the way, and I probably didn't mention this enough earlier, I do think that the one word which is vital here is boundaries.
Completely.
And it's the hardest thing, and we build lives and relationships and careers and everything, and we get all of the bricks of a functioning life. And we sort of try and build, you know, put them together to construct this thing that we call existence. And we find it so fucking hard to protect those things with boundaries. Why is it? Why is it that awkwardness and social awkwardness can actually, it can be so bad that it would supersede our own ability to experience happiness because we're afraid to implement a boundary. And because it would be awkward to have a 30-second conversation with the mother-in-law. For me, all of this comes back to boundaries. No, sorry, you're acting out of line. I'd still be friends with you. I'd still be your son-in-law or your daughter-in-law, but you need to act up. Check yourself.
Yeah.
Like, it should be much more... I wish it was more common for boundaries to be just like, sorry, no, that's not okay.
Yeah.
Not okay. And I wish this woman who's seriously isolated didn't feel like she would be doing a major task by sort of challenging her mother-in-law. And of course, by the way, I believe she should have the support from her husband. But hey, that's just Megan. That's just me being so bloody aware.
Bloody empath.
The bloody... Oh, guys, I'm such an empath. No, you're not. You're a narcissist. Anybody that leads a story with, I'm an empath, you're not. You're a weirdo. You're a freak ass. You're a hoe. No, I'm joking. Okay. Let's see what happens. This is... Like, something tells me that this isn't the end of it.
No, certainly not.
Okay, on y va. Goodbye, brother.